Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Well, I still think I can do the kind of quality work that bucks convention and breaks down the stereotypes.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 8, The Backstory. The Backstory. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bundy.
The Backstory.
Here's a little backstory for you. Kind of quality work that that young lady was talking about. That is Kamala Lopez. She plays the reporter, Beth, in this episode, who winds up being screwed over, along with Brenda, by her supervising producer, who was a clickbait guy before that was invented. Anyway, while I was looking her up on the IMDb to see if she'd been in anything else of note, I did find that she'd been in a little gem called Shoot First, A Cop's Vengeance, co-starring as Eddie Burkett, one Dan Patrick Brady, my husband.
Woo!
I will send you a link in the show notes. The only clip I could find is subtitled in, I'm going to say Hungarian?
Is it? I thought it was, I just assumed it was German. Some kind of something with a lot of consonants.
Yeah, no, there were many, many diacritical marks that I don't think German has.
I don't know.
In any case, my husband appears at around the 3-minute mark. His character is rapey. It's not great.
Also,
he really wear a cut-off, sleeveless, denim chambray shirt, though.
Yeah, he looks foxy.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of all I even have to say about this episode. So let's forge ahead.
Yeah, I have this as just a kind of only story because I initially, when I was taking notes, tried to like untangle the threads like we normally do, but it's really hard because they're all braided together. So let's just go through it from beginning to end. It's the SATs. These socias are all taking a prep course, and as they leave,
very nice.
Thank you. As they leave, they run into a producer from KTMV, she says, who wants to talk to them about the pressures of the exam. And later, when Steve is coming out, Brenda is talking to her because, of course, she is. She's a fame whore. Kelly dismissively tells Steve that it's just the local news, but Steve spies a logo that these idiots aren't smart enough to have maybe not put on their equipment in the first place if they're the TMZ of the day. But anyway, he angrily intervenes in clip number 2.
Hey!
Steve, what are you doing?
Can I have my mic back, please?
Why should I?
Steve.
Don't you know who these people are, Brenda? Did you ever hear of a sleazy TV show called Backstory? It's a junkathon news magazine that goes out of its way to ruin people's lives on national TV.
But that is not true.
What about the story you ran on Samantha Sanders?
Hey, I'm new on the show.
Oh, don't try and weasel out of it. That was a hatchet job, if ever I've seen a hatchet job.
Steve, let's just get out of here, okay?
Hey, come on, man. Don't waste your breath.
Really?
My mic, please. Thanks.
Next time I'll break it. And your camera, too.
Ooh.
Samantha Sanders is his mom. He's very protective of her.
I have a proposal for you guys.
Ew. Yes.
When this podcast is done in about 4 or 5 years from now, whenever it runs out of shows, you go to like LA or something and you have like a no sleep marathon and see who's the last standing. And, and it is called Steve Sanders Junkathon.
Ew.
I know I would be the first to fall asleep and it would take about 2 hours. I couldn't even stay awake through Second Chance last night. You know that's true. Not that that's a great example. Anyway, the next day, Brandon reports what he heard from Steve. First of all, the other thing is like that Brenda supplies this information about Steve. Like he didn't say that and he might not want that known. I mean, I guess he didn't really make it a secret who he is by making a federal case about Samantha Sanders as if he's like whatever, the number one Hartley House fan, but still, this is just more fodder for what ends up happening with Brenda and Beth later, because Brenda doesn't know how to keep her fucking mouth shut. The next day, Brenda reports what he heard from Steve before dismissing Steve's suggestion that he get something going with Nikki, who's standing nearby in her aforementioned patchwork jeans, the one thing I think that looks the least good of all of Nikki's outfits, in my opinion. Steve teases Brandon about his age bias since Nikki is a sophomore. Brandon notes that Nikki was recently throwing herself at David, which is not a bad point against her. And he's in the middle of saying that Steve is hard up when Brooke Langton rolls up to confirm her plans with Steve at the glamorous Peach Pit later. Brandon has this to say in clip number three.
Well, I guess Brenda was wrong. No flies on you. No suds on me either.
Okay, I had no idea what that meant. No suds on me. So then I had to look up Brooke Langton on IMDb, and suds is her character name. Suds is the name of a girl character on the show. Suds.
And why?
It's never explained.
Why is so popular. I mean, we know why she's there, but whatever. Moving
anyway.
On.
As I have in my notes, IDK. Anyway, the upshot is that Steve is meeting this girl out with her college boyfriend, BJ. Really? And when Brandon...
It sucks.
When Brandon bitches about college guys raiding their class like he's an 18-year-old boy about to be banished from an FLDS compound so he doesn't present a challenge for the eligible girls in the joy book, Steve says that actually this broad suds is a junior. Wah, wah. Kelly and Brenda are in two other contrasting outfits, as previously mentioned in the last podcast. Brenda is in like a white sleeveless ruffly situation, and Kelly is in a black kind of haltery batiky looking dress. She actually looks really cute. I like that dress on her. As Brenda fiends for a cigarette, Kelly lectures her about smoking's health effects and how much her parents would flip if they knew, but they're not the only ones Brenda has to hide her habit from, and we hear that in clip number four.
If your parents knew, they would flip out.
Yeah, well, so would Dylan. He hates smoking with a passion. But fortunately, he loves the smell of perfume.
Oh, don't say anything, okay?
Whatever.
And don't say goodbye, either.
Mm-hmm. This is the first sign of cracks forming between the two of these self-declared best friends. She's testy, but maybe that's just supposed to be because she's really Nick fitting. I don't know. Moving on, Kelly turns back to see Brenda and Dylan kissing and turns into a pillar of salt. Later, Nikki asks Donna why everyone is so rattled. And Donna tells her that the SATs are on Saturday. Nikki figures that's why Brandon has been in a mood, but Donna exposits that actually Brandon and Andrea are the only ones not taking the SATs again. Nikki doesn't know what his problem is then because he's always so serious, but Donna says that's only at school and that he's different when he's at the Peach Pit. And when school lets out, the producer, whose name is Beth, and her giant jacket, which you can see in the visual aids. It's like a Shaquille O'Neal jacket on this tiny woman.
It really is.
They're waiting to
shoot first. Wardrobe's vengeance. Terrible.
She's waiting to swoop in on Brenda. She tells Brenda she had nothing to do with the Samantha Sanders story and asks if they can go somewhere to talk. And the way you can tell Brenda knows she's doing something sketchy is that they do not go to the Peach Pit. They go to some anonymous like coffee shop or whatever. Beth, smoking, admits that the backstory isn't what she thought she'd be doing when she was in J school, but she still thinks she can do groundbreaking work. If only Brenda will help her, and they talk about that in clip number five.
Stay tuned for the backstory on the kids that go to high school in the most glamorous city in America.
How is that going to break down any stereotypes?
Because I'm not going to do a generic profile of the blonde bimbette on Rodeo Drive with her daddy's gold card. What interests me is that you and your friends are just a bunch of ordinary kids living in an extraordinary community.
Yeah, I guess Beverly Hills can take some getting used to.
Which is a lot easier if you get past the surface glitz and look at the difference between what's real and what's hype, right?
Do you have another cigarette?
Oh, Brenda.
Another Morley?
Yes, the official brand.
Love those on the Fox Network.
Yep. Beth gives Brenda the hard sell for a little while when apparently all she needed to say was that Brenda could be on camera in order to convince her. And there's a gif I made of Beth enthusiastically nodding with crazy eyes and Brenda like totally preening in excitement. Anyway, Brandon is in the middle of a busy shift at the Peach Pit when Brenda enters wanting to talk and apparently reeking of perfume to cover her smoke smell. Brandon directs Steve to his table, and then Nikki and her giant belt buckle, hear all about it in the last podcast, enter and sit at the counter. He doesn't even register her as he basically throws a menu in her face. She plays it off like she didn't know he worked there. Well, Nat yells at him about his orders and earns his paycheck, barely. At his meeting, Steve asks Beej, and yes, he calls him that, for any old term papers he might have, but Beej has something better in clip...
Sanders and Beej.
It's funny you should say that, Steve. That's kind of why I'm here. I'm about to make your life.
Oh, what is that? The key to your heart?
No, this is the master key to West Beverly High. It unlocks every office, every filing cabinet, every great bank. Think of the possibilities, Steve-O.
Yeah, right.
Hey, this isn't a trick, Sanders. This key is a legacy that's been passed down year after year to the one student who's lucky enough to carry on the tradition. Now, it's your turn.
Where'd you get it?
Well, I'm not gonna tell you that. And you'll never say where you got it. Right?
This is... I can't believe that this ends up being a storyline for like half a season. It's so stupid.
No, it's agonizing. It just, no one cares. And then the whole like blackmail plot. Anyway, thanks a lot.
It goes on and on and on and fucking on. So this guy that we've never seen before, Beej, is making Steve his special project because he wants to make sure Steve gets into his frat someday, like whatever. Steve is wary. BJ threatens to give the key to someone else, but Steve says it's not a hard pass, so he has until the weekend to decide if he's going to take it or not. In the car after Brandon's shift, Brenda is making her case for going on the backstory, and he is dubious, tells her to talk to Mrs. Teasley first, but he also has a general question in clip number 7.
Why do you want to do this thing anyway?
Well, I want to help Beth.
What is she, your new best friend?
As opposed to my old non-friends?
And what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I mean, ever since I got back from Europe, I feel like I'm not on the same wavelength with anybody. I mean, Donna's off doing her thing with David, and Kelly's been so moody lately, it's like I can't say anything right. If it weren't for Dylan, I wouldn't have anyone.
Excuse me.
Present company excluded.
Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, at the very least, I have the opportunity to make a positive statement about what it's really like to grow up in Beverly Hills.
Okay, all the stuff that she's describing other than Kelly being in a bad mood all the time has not been established at all, except for her stating it here, like, way to go, show.
Yeah, whatever.
But obviously there has to be a reason for her doing this thing, so that's it, I guess. When the Walsh kids come home after closing a diner, their parents are getting ready to go out. Sure, why not? Cindy's dress is fucking crazy.
It's like
the Ross Dress for Less version of Versace. And if you can't imagine that, you don't have to, because it's in the visual aids. There are brisk
Rorschach-y.
So bad. There are brisk hugs, and when Brenda leans in, her cigarettes fall on the floor. Wah wah. The next scene finds all the Walshes in the kitchen, including Brandon, of whose business this is none. Brenda says that everyone smokes in Paris. Cindy doesn't know anyone who smokes anymore. Brandon agrees that it's a disgusting habit. I am pointedly saying nothing. Brenda has obviously thought through what she'd say in this eventuality, and this is it. Clip number 6. Number 8, sorry.
If I can survive the smog in the air, the pesticides in my food, and the crime in the streets, then I am bound to beat the odds on a couple of lousy cigarettes.
Don't you dare make light of this.
Mom, I'm sorry. I just think you're all overreacting.
Well, then you have a short memory. Think back to when you had to see Dr. Donner about that lump in your breast. Or do we have to refresh your memory about this family's medical history when it comes to cancer?
No.
Okay. Listen. So she lost her perspective over there with the Frenchies this summer. That's fine. But now that she's back...
Please, shut up.
Over there with the Frenchies. And I also love the music cue is like supposed to be telling us Brandon is so hurt by her telling him to shut up.
Oh, man.
But yes, reference to her breast lump from season barely 2. Brenda claims she can quit anytime, so Jim challenges her to do so, and she's like, no problem. It is a problem. Also, from her litany of the things that she's avoided, the crime in the streets? Question mark?
Well, Mr. Pony. Although that wasn't really in the streets,
nope.
Was it?
It wasn't the crime at the diner where I just was 20 minutes ago. Anyway.
Well, also, teenager, if you don't actually smoke, like, if that's going to be your argument, you don't then get to be like, I can quit anytime. Like, quit what?
Yeah.
If they're your friend's cigarettes, stick the landing. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
Yeah. David and Donna study SAT vocab in the booth. She looks through the window to see Brenda and Kelly fighting again, she says. And then we cut to said fight, which seems to be about Kelly's lack of empathy about the smoking dust up. And we hear them pick up with that in clip number 9.
All I'm saying is I'm glad your parents caught you. Can you please keep your voice down?
No, it's too late for that. What did they catch you doing this time, Bren? Because I know I wasn't involved.
It was nothing.
Brenda? You don't tell me, Kelly will.
Not cool.
My parents found a pack of cigarettes that somebody gave me, and they went ballistic. They wouldn't believe that they weren't mine.
Well, Bren, that's because non-smokers don't usually carry cigarettes.
You don't believe me either. Great. Brenda, the only thing worse than having an addiction is denying that you have one. Kelly, please don't get all AA on me. Fine.
I mean, She's not wrong. If you don't smoke, you don't have cigarettes. You would have no reason to have them. Like, someone gave them to me. Give me a break. You're a senior in high school. You can come up with something better than that. Or just say they're yours. Anyway. They're in another pair of contrasting outfits. This time, Brenda is in menswear look with, like, a pinstripe, you know, vest pant combo,
which I like. She's wearing that monocle again, which whatever goes with the
outfit. Does
she looks cute.
She does. Kelly is in the middle of a bangs grow out situation, Sarah noted in her visual aids. But she's in like a sort of autumn colored floral thing, so again, I mean, kind of a reach, but you know, I would still consider those contrasting. When Brenda has announced that she's now officially a non-smoker, she changes the subject to what time Dylan's going to pick her up for the SATs on Saturday, but he's not going. He's going to see his dad in prison instead, and will take them the next time. She gets all pissy about how that's what he said last time, that he's going to miss his opportunity to apply to college. Kelly lectures Brenda that not everyone has to go to college, and Dylan makes the mistake of thanking her, and Brenda stomps off because that's what she does. Brenda then opens the DJ booth, says she knows that David and Donna saw them fighting, and lies when Donna asks if everything's groovy. She then asks whether David has the video scrapbook. Like, this is what I don't get. That he made this video scrapbook for the school. Like, I just assumed this was a thing that students got. Would she not have one? Did he make this video scrapbook and there's only one copy? Do I care?
Yeah,
don't know.
No, that, I mean, yeah, it's only, and we haven't seen him filming in like a season's worth, I feel like.
When we see them play it later, it's all stuff from season 1. So maybe he doesn't do it anymore. Some other squeef is doing it now. The David Silver of his class is doing it. Anyway, whatever. Brenda gets the video and walks it across the quad to an RV. Beth comes out in an extremely weird, ill-fitting shirt dress that's like Barney purple with a giant black belt, of course, and takes delivery of the video yearbook. Brenda tells Beth that she needs to get Mrs. Teasley permission before she starts on the story. And Beth is like, totally. I'm just going to put the piece together first and then let her see it, when she will totally sign off on it and it will be no problem. It's not how it works. Brenda's about to go back to class when Beth asks her to stay and go over some stuff. And of course, Brenda can't resist. And in the RV, Brenda is impressed by the whole command post, which Beth smokes in like A, rude, and B, probably not great for this analog recording equipment that's in it, but whatever. I'm not a cigarette or recording equipment expert. Now Nikki has followed Brandon in his rolled up t-shirt sleeves to the Blaze. So there's some comedy about how he's trying to avoid her and can't. Back in the RV, Brenda sits next to Beth as she plays the video yearbook, which has footage of Brenda's goodbye party, like I'm sure the rest of the school gives a shit. Anyway, Beth has made some pretty insightful first impressions, though I'm not sure when, since Brenda just dropped it off. But anyway, all TL shade in clip number 9. No, 10.
Brenda, I'd even share my clothes with you if it meant that you'd stay.
She struck me as kind of an airhead.
No, she's not. In fact, Donna and I were in a French immersion program in Paris this summer.
And by the end of it, she was speaking. Well, she had really, really improved.
Brr.
Oh.
Partial airhead. No, Donna has a learning disability. But she's not letting that stop her from taking her SATs. And she's the sweetest person I know.
Hashtag hero?
Yeah, she is a total clothes horse. Although she's not quite as bad as Kelly.
Kelly. Now, Kelly's the other blonde.
Right.
And what's she like?
Well, when I first met her, I thought she was a typical Beverly Hills snob. You know, nose job, beamer, and an attitude. Hmm. But she's become one of my best friends, and I really admire her.
And why is that?
Because she's totally turned her life around. Before I moved here, she was, shall we say, pretty loose.
And now?
Wow.
No.
She's completely changed. I feel sorry for her, though. A lot of people can't get past her looks and see what a smart and loving and caring person she really is.
You know, you're really good at this.
No, Beth, you're really good at this. Getting her to just talk and have no sense of off the record.
Yeah. I mean, and good at what? Having diarrhea of the mouth? Feeling self-important?
Having shitty opinions about your friends, a.k.a. car talk?
And I really wish, and the show makes Kelly a model in later seasons, but the show really oversubscribes this idea of Kelly as the most beautiful woman ever, like Venus on the half shell. And it's like, she's cute, but ease up.
Yeah. The other thing that as I was listening to this, it occurred to me is when we later see the segment all cut together, it's all B-roll from the episode that was the first day of their second junior year. So that wouldn't have been on the video yearbook that she gave him. I mean, why am I fact checking this? I don't know.
Yeah.
But somehow they got it.
No, it's like two hairstyles ago for Donna. Although
yeah.
That's a good thing because I don't know what's going on right now with Tori Spelling's hair.
It's but so it's big. Good. Yeah. Later, BJ shows up at school with fucking suds. Apparently, he was a super student, as we all know why. And back outside, Brenda gives her interview, and we hear a little bit of that in clip 11.
And so, America, you might think that the kids that live in Beverly Hills must be some alien life form. But if you stop and look at somebody like me, for example, I have a head, two arms, two legs. I have two parents who've been married to each other for almost 20 years.
That isn't typical, is it?
I'm from Minnesota, remember?
Okay, cut.
Was that okay?
That was great. Better than I ever could have hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
No, notice that she doesn't mention her two eyes. Doesn't really go towards the whole not an alien narrative. I'm sorry, you're still pretty, just they're not even.
No, they're not. Brenda then realizes that she blew off the whole day of school and that she is totally smoky. So when she goes over to Dylan's, as soon as he kisses her, you can tell that she brushed her teeth, but she still reeks. She claims to have been in a confined space with a lot of smokers, which is, I mean, there are more smokers than not from what we saw.
Yeah, it's like 60% true?
Yeah. Sure. He reminds her that he thinks smoking is gross. We get it. She promises to quit forever if he'll take his SAT that weekend. He'll consider it. Then there is fucking. off camera. Then there is a boom mic, and I made a GIF because it's like bobbing up and down over Nikki's head.
Thank you.
It's crazy. Nikki is all over Brandon while he edits her piece that she's written. She's like the representative of her class on the Blaze, whatever, it doesn't matter. She's came up with a pretext to hang out with Brandon. We all got it. He tries to pass it off to an eye-rolly Andrea. Nikki pretends not to be hurt that he's trying to get rid of her. And Andrea, after she's left, doesn't know what he has against Nikki, but says if he's not into her, he should nip it in the bud now. Of course, we know she would know. Wah, wah. Brenda, in a surprisingly cute look, like skinny gray pants, these sandals that she keeps wearing in this episode that I kind of still really want. They're like black strappy wedges.
Yeah.
It's always the 90s in my heart. Stops by the RV to get the video so that she can return it to David. And oh my God, you guys are not going to believe this, but Beth is shady. In clip 12.
Brenda Walsh is here. What am I supposed to tell her?
Tell her it's not going to fly. Unless you can come up with a better hook. Where's the heat?
Where's the ooh?
That's not ooh. What I pitched.
Well, that's what I need.
Dan, I promised her I wasn't going to exploit these kids.
I hope you didn't put it in writing.
It's just not right.
Either you're going to do it, or I am.
When we heard the video rewinding noise earlier, Sarah, I thought it was you making your fart noise.
Me too.
Do it now so people know what we're talking about.
Wait, which one?
You're like
pursed lips fart
your pursed
noise.
Lip like
oh, the mouse poop?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Oh, wait, I can't do it. Hold on.
I mean, it would have been appropriate if you had, whatever.
Yeah.
And when she comes in and is like, Brenda Walsh is here. Like, he just spent the entire yesterday with her. Is there another Brenda? No. Anyway, Beth returns the video to...
But Brenda, well, that's a different story.
From the west part of France.
You're spoiled.
Beth returns the video to a very chirpy Brenda and feels like a piece of shit, even though she shouldn't, because it's not her fault Brenda is an idiot. Speaking of Brenda being an idiot, in the Blaze office, Mrs. Teasley is furiously telling Andrea and Brandon about the backstory's unauthorized report. She wants them to put an announcement in the paper, making sure no kids talk to anyone from the show. And Brandon knows all about this, so he has to find Brenda. He races through the halls looking for her. Runs into Steve with Nikki, and there's some Nikki liking Brandon business. Brandon looks for Brenda in the art studio, which is the first time he gets a whiff that things between Kelly and Brenda aren't great at the moment. Outside, Dylan and Brenda find each other both looking for Brenda. Apparently, Nikki's been asking Dylan about Brandon's hobby, so Dylan told him Brandon likes to knit, which is a little bit funny.
I know. I enjoyed that.
Because then I was picturing it. Dylan's going to see his dad on the SAT day, he tells Brandon. Brandon says that Dylan should keep his options open. Dylan says he could say the same to Brandon about Nikki because blah, blah. Brandon calls home to ask Cindy if Brenda was expecting him to drive her home. Cindy says she was planning to spend the day in the library. And Brandon has just turned on his heel to go looking for her when Nikki comes up behind him and dares to ask if he's all right. And his answer is clip 13.
Is everything all right?
Yes. Yes, everything is all right. Thank you very much. And everything will remain fine, whether you're hanging out here asking me about it, hanging around the newsroom, dropping by the pizza, or whatever else you happen to be doing, everything will be just fine. Look, I'm sorry. I have nothing against you personally. I don't. It's just... I've had a lot on my mind lately. No, wait, that's not even it. Look. It just wouldn't work out. That's all. We're completely different people. The odds are stacked against us, if you know what I'm saying. It's just the way I feel. I'm sorry.
Wait, I think I've missed a vital part of this conversation. Can we go back? All I said was, is everything okay? And you told me that it was. And I'm happy to hear it.
I've just been a little distracted.
Bye, Brandon.
What a dick.
I mean, Kay, like, she is being a stalker.
She is, to be fair.
But, yeah, it is nice that someone put him in his place, even if this is, like, the one time when it's not totally warranted.
Yeah. And the rant is, I mean, whatever. It's just a good reminder every now and then that he's like that when he tries to be like, oh, I'm too nice or whatever. He thinks his faults are. Anyway, Brandon finds Brenda at the library and tells her about his conversation with Mrs. Teasley, which starts out hilariously in clip 14.
Brenda, I don't give you advice that often, so do me a favor and take it.
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I was better before Miss Teasley came in with an edict from the school board about backstory. Didn't I tell you to get permission?
Well, the show's going to take care of all that. They're going through channels.
What'd you tell these people, Bren?
Brandon, I think that you should just relax. And let me get back to the one thing I do have to worry about, which is the SATs.
Oh, Brenda's about to get knocked off her cocky perch so fast.
Oh.
So decisively.
That's hard.
It's really... I had forgotten how hard it is to watch. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but anyway. In the back of the peach pit.
And her face.
Yeah,
Oh,
you yeah. had already cut the picture, but I, in my notes, I was like, Bren, horrified face, pick. Anyway, and there it was in your visual aids. In the back at the Peach Pit, Brandon bitches about Brenda. Steve is in his own world about his master key conundrum. He asks Brandon in vague terms what he would do with such an offer. And after swearing Brandon to secrecy, he explains. And Brandon brings up Mr. Danzel's history class and their last cheating caper way back in season one, I think. Season one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brandon tells Steve he doesn't need to scam his way into college and live with the guilt afterward, which maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Brenda and her cute skirt and leotard combo, and those cute shoes again, get home from the library to hear that her big TV debut is about to air. The Walshes saw a teaser. Here we go. Clip 15.
No.
When you hear the name Beverly Hills, you think of swimming pools, movie stars, the lifestyles of the rich and richer. A golden fantasy land of palatial estates and world-class everything. And the pride of this community is West Beverly Hills High School, where the princes and princesses go to school in their Porsches and convertibles, their designer clothes, and their all-American smart.
There's Kelly. And Donna. And Steve.
But a backstory, we found that these children of privilege have nothing to be smiling about. For it's a sad fact that all the money in the world can't compensate for the breakdown of family values that we found in our visit to this Mecca.
Brenda, it's you.
I have two parents who've been married to each other for almost 20 years.
Well, that's not typical here, though, is it?
I'm from Minnesota, remember?
Brenda, when did you do this?
I didn't say it that way. I never even talked to that guy.
Beverly Hills, you find the tragedy of dysfunctional families in the extreme. There are the showbiz kids, whose parents are consumed by their own failing careers at the expense of their children's emotional stability. This girl has a severe learning disability. Her parents' solution? Send her to Paris on a whirlwind shopping spree.
That is so twisted. I can't even watch this.
And then there's the girl with the reputation. This girl found at an early age that in Beverly Hills, pretty young girls do exactly what they can for what they want.
I'm ruined.
What?
Maybe no one's watching it.
With an absentee
father, everyone's watching
it. No limit credit card, and a mother who's battled the demons of drugs and alcohol most of her adult life. It's no wonder that this blonde vixen has no moral foundation and a jaded, world-weary attitude.
So in addition to the B-roll that I mentioned before, there's also in this package B-roll of the time capsule, which also happened in season two, like fairly well into season two. We all remember because it was the same episode that Scott shot himself. So you would think they would bring up the kid who shot himself in the stomach in this scandalous review.
Yeah, no.
But I guess he wasn't rich, so it doesn't matter. Oh, God. It's rough to watch.
I keep thinking of this Robin Leach imitator. It's like so blatant. I mean, it's not good.
No.
But it's blatant.
Yes.
I just keep thinking, oh, I'm smiling. And I don't know. And Brenda's look of just pants wetting terror. In fact, I think that's what I called the photo file. It was like Brenda Oops Pee or something like that.
Totally.
She's so fucked and she knows it.
As the scene is happening, we keep cutting to everyone else's houses because everyone is watching it who's, you know, been mentioned in it, obviously. So when we next see Brenda, she's trying to get through to Kelly. She says the line is still busy. Brenda asks Jim if they can't sue the show. Jim, not a lawyer, doesn't know because he's not a lawyer, but thinks they should look into it. No, they shouldn't. You're not a lawyer. Cindy is sure that Brenda's friends will understand. Brenda realizes she shouldn't have said anything and goes out for a walk in her strappy wedge sandals, as you do. Brandon sees her and pulls into a driveway because he was also watching at the Peach Pit. He offers to take her home, but she says she wants to walk. He guesses that she wants to be alone so that she can have a cigarette. And that turns out to be the case. With tears in her eyes, she says that no one's ever going to talk to her again, so she really needs one. But he says if she can get through this without smoking, she can get through anything, and she tosses the pack, because it's that easy to quit smoking, apparently. I don't think it comes up again after this episode, actually.
I don't think it does.
Back home, Brandon dishes out restorative ice cream in the classic Walsh fashion. Brenda still can't get through to anyone on the phone, but finally David picks up and says they don't want to talk to her. Brandon is sad for Twin. In prison, Dylan happily greets Jack and gives him the books that Jack asked for. Jack knows.
Meanwhile, in prison.
Meanwhile, people with real problems. Jack knows that Dylan is supposed to have the SATs tomorrow. Jack tells him that an education is more valuable than his trust fund, basically, and turns Dylan around on the whole skipping the SAT question. Which, by the way, this was also fertile ground for exploration by the backstory. So I'm kind of surprised that Dylan didn't come up at all. But I guess Brenda, again, knows that she's doing something sketchy and didn't talk about him at all out of, I don't know, whatever. She's not mad at him, I suppose. The next day, Brenda shows up last of the gang for the SAT and immediately gets out, iced out in clip 16.
Donna, I tried to call you last night. Scan, discard, select, move on.
Ooh.
Kelly, I know how mad you must be, but please let me say something before we go in there. Even though we've been fighting a lot lately, you have to know that I love you. And I would never have said those things about you on or off camera. I mean, you have to believe me. I feel terrible. It's okay, Brenda. I'm sure you needed to get that off your chest. And now that you've done what you needed to do to feel better, I have a test to take.
Kelly's bitch face in this exchange is so epic that I did a diptych of two of it, because one of them is like haughty and the other is like just a glare, and it's kind of impressive and kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Kelly
She's
got
pissed.
Yeah, and rightly so. I mean, if she thought that Brenda said all that stuff about her, because she got raked over coals the worst of what we heard. Like the absentee father, totally. Her addict mother, no moral values, like it's rough. Meanwhile, at West Lompoc High School, Dylan at what looks like a bagel shop punch card, which he's using for ID, sign up for the SAT. I don't know what piece of information he gives to him, but like, it's just an unlaminated piece of cardboard. I guess it could be his social security card. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This will
it
end
was
up
so long ago. I really don't remember what we had to give them. I don't remember what I gave them.
Yeah.
I just love that there's a West. Like, is there a town of Lompoc?
I think so.
Okay. I just thought the prison was named that, and it had nothing to do with the town name.
Nope, it's a town. Okay. There's just also a prison there. Just looked it up. Thanks, internet.
Lompoc's got something for
possibly not a bagel shop, though, so Dylan's card is not going to do him any good. Later, while this is all happening,
there's a bagel shop. They call it the Hole.
Oh, Sarah.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
No, nor should you be. While the SAT is going on all over California, Beth shows up at the Walsh manse looking for Brenda. Brandon, who answers the door, is shitty to her, which is reasonable. He refuses to take a message on the basis that she owes Brenda an in-person conversation, although he's dubious that Beth has anything to say that is worth Brenda's hearing. But does she? Because it turns out she quit the show and she wants to get in touch with Kelly as well. And then everyone's coming out of the test feeling good. Kelly suggests leaving before Miss Teenage America comes out, which is so cold. So funny. But David has to wait for Donna because she got more time because of her severe learning disability that we just heard all about. Brenda comes out, sees her ex-friends looking pissy, and snaps into the Brenda stomps straight past them. You can see it in a glorious gif that I made, if I say so myself.
She's also wearing pants that look like they were made out of a coffin lining.
Yep, and a matching vest. With pleats. It's not her best look.
Yeah, no.
But she wasn't looking at them at all. She, as we see, as she makes a beeline straight to Beth and Brandon. Beth wants to apologize, and soon enough, the other kids drift over, also furious. Beth admits that she caved to what her bosses wanted, and we hear all about that in clip 17.
But it didn't start out that way. We wanted to do it differently, Brenda and I. We wanted to say, here, you see this blonde bombshell from Beverly Hills? Well, she's a really terrific girl. She's sweet
Easy.
And intelligent and one of a kind.
That's right. That's what you were going to say. What was wrong with that?
Because in the real world, you have a boss. And your boss has a boss, and you get sucked in.
It's not a good enough reason.
I agree. That's why I quit immediately after the broadcast. Look, my apology doesn't make it right, but believe me, Brenda had nothing but the best intentions in this, and I have her on tape to prove it, if you'll take the time to look.
Did you really say that I'm intelligent and one of a kind?
Sure did.
I'm sorry.
A hug. Kelly's in gingham, by the way.
Bad, you shouldn't smoke. Bad for your health.
Smoking stuff.
Everything's all better forever. Not to defend Beth's shady reporting, but can I just also say, like, what was so wrong with that? Like, that's not a story, you know, like kids nice is not a headline. There's nothing to report. Yeah, if no. What you're reporting is all of these people are great, you know?
Yeah. Right. Also off the record, like, didn't you have to watch all the President's Men in civics class?
Yeah.
Off the record. Learn mm-hmm. it.
It's the get a lawyer of life with reporters. Mm-hmm. Anyway, later at the Peach Pit, the kids compare. Oh, yeah. And also because David tried to dismiss Beth's explanation by saying that she was just trying to assuage her guilt. There's also this, our final clip.
Assuage young David?
Listen to less on the intensity of.
I know what it means. Is that really what it means?
Oh, Steve. I love severe learning disability.
I love the idea that this is where Steve's like, shit, I really need that key. Later at the Peach Pit, the kids compare notes on the SAT. Nikki enters in yet another okay outfit, and Donna calls her over. Nikki sees that Brandon's there and declines. Good call. So he pulls her into the back, and she promises that she believed he wasn't going to be there, and he apologizes for all his shittiness and admits that he likes her, and then kisses her, and she kisses him back, and because she is cute, it's a tiny bit cute. And that's it. That's the backstory on the backstory.
No. Yeah.
Burp. Most valuable player of the episode. Sarah, why don't you go first?
I am torn. I am tempted to say Kelly. Mm-hmm. She is a snarky bitch in the best way throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. I think she does cave a little too quickly at the end, but I'm actually going to go with McKay Sr.,
mm-hmm.
who basically calls out Dylan for being a whatever man, like refuse Nick about the SATs. In retrospect, should have tied his trust fund to educational benchmarks, but did not. So, him. Also, he is wearing pants that appear to be the correct size for his lower torso and legs.
Oh, boy. That's tough. Everyone's kind of not great in this episode.
And even Mrs. Teasley, who usually I would give it to, is wearing the schmatta. It's hideous. You can't look directly at it. Please do not look directly at it.
I also think that she has a bow at the back of her hair, like clipped to nothing because her hair is short. it's supposed to be accenting the ponytail that's not there. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It's like when people tape bows to the baby's head for the Sears portrait. You're better than that, Mrs. Teasley.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to give it to Andrea, who basically stayed out of all of this baloney because she's the only one who's kind of not pissed me off this week.
Yeah, I guess you could give it to Nikki.
But as you say, she is being a stalker. That's the problem.
And it's in the service of stalking Brandon.
Yeah. Speaking of whom, let's go ahead and do the Moo Moo Parker Challenge.
Did we do LVP?
God damn it! I can't believe it.
I'm with you today. Holy shit. I got to be in the editing bay for 12 hours.
You just want everyone to be the same.
I forgot. Least valuable player.
You?
Yeah, me.
All right,
that's
moving on.
I don't know. I guess Brenda, because she should have had more sense.
Beej. Like, don't be named Beej. Don't let other people call you Beej. And don't give a legacy key to that Nimrod.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good list. All right, now, at the correct time. The Moo Moo Parker Challenge. This is tough because Dylan is barely in this episode and Brandon really kind of only does one crappy thing that just kind of goes through. But we're here. So let's do five reasons from this episode that Brandon could have been killed. Go first, Sarah.
Gets punched through his entire skull by Nikki for being an asshole.
More ink poisoning because he's still at the Blaze, as we heard, where he was being crappy to Nikki. Also, I will add, could have been brained by the boom mic that couldn't stay out of the shot. I would have enjoyed that.
Well, I mean, they're both so teeny. I almost don't blame the boom mic guy for that. What else? Brained with a book by Brenda for trying to give her advice.
At the library.
Not that often. Psych.
Yep. And could have fallen off of his high horse over his feelings of superiority, all about Brenda's lack of discretion in this backstory storyline, and been trampled by said horse's hooves.
Oh, yeah. And also secondhand smoke in their bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Right. All right. Well, that's more than five. That's six.
Oh, next time, the college rondelay continues when the gang meets with their college guidance counselor for the first time, but Dylan is a pinko refusenik because Dylan. And only one of the twins will be getting their college paid for because Jim has spent all his money on hideous neckties, that Casio, and repairing Brandon's goddamn car a billion times. In other news, the wardrobe department really hates Gabrielle Carteris, and according to our visual aides, we kind of do too. You can see those pictures and visual aids from all the other episodes of Again With This at previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at previously.tv. Editor Dave, where can we find you on social media?
Leave me alone. I'm nowhere.
Great. Tara?
I'm at Tara Ariano on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me at Tomato Nation on, I was about to say Facebook, which you actually totally can't do, on Twitter. It sucks. We'll see you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.